Hello everybody, today I'll be reading chapters 30 and 31 of Avengers 1. Chapter 30. On the rooftop, Natasha had the scepter. She pushed the tip against the energy barrier, protecting the portal generator. It went through, slowly. I can close it, she said, hoping she could be heard over the wash of electromagnetic energy from the barrier. Can anybody copy? I can shut the portal down. Do it, Captain America replied immediately. But she leaned on the scepter to push it the rest of the way through to the Tesseract itself. I remained broken.
No, wait!
Stark, these things are still coming, Cap argued.
I got a nuke coming in,
Tony answered.
It's going to blow in less than a minute, and I know just where to put it.
Natasha looked around. She couldn't see Tony. No, there he was. Far away to the south, the control of his boot thrusters leading away from the battle. A nuke, she thought. Fury would have done that. The only people on Earth who would turn Manhattan into a radioactive crater, other than ravaged terrorist groups and lunatic supervillains, were the World Security Council. They had to be behind this. She waited, holding the scepter in place. If anyone could pull this off, it would be Tony Stark. But Natasha wasn't sure anyone could pull this off. Tony caught the missile right after it went under the Verrazano Narrows Bridge. He had to time everything perfectly, or he would either miss the portal or not get to it in time. He rode the missile north, streaking over Battery Park, the financial district, Little Italy, Chinatown, the village. Then he started trying to force it high into the sky, away from his target location over Midtown Manhattan, and towards the hole in space created by the Tesseract. The missile had a lot of momentum built up, and Tony's Mark 7 suit was not operating at full capacity after the amount of energy he'd expended in the battle already. It was no easy task to get the missile angled up sharply enough to clear the tallest buildings in Midtown, especially Stark Tower. That was where the missile seemed to want to go. So, Tony thought.
The World Security Council is jealous of me too.
He got underneath the missile and angled it upward, straining against the stabilizers, which tried to keep it on course. But slowly, he forced it up, and once he got its warhead pointed at an angle, pushing it into a steeper climb got easier. A little. Steve Rogers' voice broke his concentration. Stark! You know there's a one-way trip. Tony ignored him. If you talk to Steve, he's going to think too much about how Steve was probably right.
Save the rest for the turn, Jay.
He said to Jarvis, once the missile was pointed in the right direction. Sir, shall I try Miss Potts?
Might as well,
Tony said. She's probably busy with some congressional thing or other, but maybe you could leave her a message. Tony and the missile passed within feet of the roof of Stark Tower, close enough that he could see the amazement on the faces of Natasha and Selvig. Then he fired an extra lateral thrusters and aimed the missile straight up, adding his own thrust to the missile's solid fuel engine and blazing towards the portal. Pepper's phone kept ringing, but she didn't answer. The portal loomed ahead, with Mortatavi appearing through it all the time. As Tony got closer, he could see more clearly what was on the other side. Empty space, stars, and lots of Chitauri.
This better work,
he thought, and then he was through the portal. Jarvis cut out as the wireless link to Stark Tower was broken. The call to Pepper failed. His thrusters flickered and began to go out. Tony let go of the missile and fell back towards the portal. His eyes were wide. Against a backdrop of alien stars, the Chitauri ship hung in space. It was bigger than anything he'd ever seen, shaped like a rough X lying on its side. Any one of the legs of the X was larger than a dozen helicarriers. Leviathans poured from it, and Chitauri flyers swarmed like dust. They would just keep coming in, the thousands and millions, if it wasn't destroyed. What kind of a civilization could build something like that? Humans were centuries away from that kind of technology. Fury is right. When it came to threats from space, the human race was hilariously outgunned. All they could do was hope that brains and willpower would even the odds. The missile shrieked on towards it. Its time had ticking down. Tony watched. Even if this was the last thing he ever saw, part of him was glad they had seen it. The universe was full of wonders. One day, Tony knew, the human race would make it out among the stars. But first, they would have to stay alive long enough. That meant defeating the Chitauri. A tiny ball of fire bloomed in the center of the Chitauri ship. It grew and kept growing. In seconds, it had engulfed the Chitauri ship. Tony closed his eyes. On the streets of New York, the Chitauri fell to the ground as if they had been switched off. Every single one of them, even the remaining Leviathans, sagged and crashed to Earth. The Avengers looked up. On the roof of Stark Tower, Natasha said, "Come on, Stark." They saw the explosion through the portal, brilliant as a new sun. There's no way Tony could have survived that. I was wrong about him, Steve thought. When the time came, he didn't make the sacrificial play. "Close it," he said. "There's nothing they could do for Tony now." Natasha leaned in and touched the tip of Loki's scepter to the Tesseract. The beam of energy holding the portal open winked out, and the portal began to collapse. All the Avengers watched, knowing they had lost one of their own. Then, at the last minute, before the portal winked out of existence, the minuscule form of Iron Man fell through it back into the sky. "Son of a gun," Steve said. Smiles spread across their faces. Tony was alive! But soon they could tell something wasn't right.
"He's not slowing down,"
Thor said. He started to swing Mjolnir to fly up, and intercept Tony before he could hit the ground at a fatal velocity. He never got the chance, though, because the cult came deep into view. He caught Iron Man, and his momentum carried him all the way across the buildings across the street. Using one hand to tell himself, he slid down the building's facade to the street. When they came to rest, the Hulk dropped Iron Man onto the ground and bent over him. Thor and Steve came running. "Is he breathing?" Steve asked. Thor ripped off the face mask of the Iron Man armor. Tony didn't move. His miniature arc reactor was dark. They stood for a long moment, realizing that they had lost him after all. The portal was collapsed. The Chitauri were gone or deactivated. Tony Stark had sacrificed himself to save humanity. Then, just to be sure, the Hulk bent low and roared in Tony's face. The sound was ear-splitting from down the block. Steve thought he must have just been about to wake the dead up close. Tony gasped and his eyes shot open.
What just happened? Please tell me nobody kissed me.
The Hulk grunted. Steve cracked his smile. Even in a moment like this, Tony had to make a joke. "We won," he said.
Right.
Tony said. He started to sit up, but now he lay back again.
"Yay! All right. Good job, guys. Let's just not come in tomorrow. Let's just take a day."
He rested, getting his breath for a minute. Then he started talking again.
"Have you ever tried shawarma? There's a shawarma joint about 2 blocks from here. I don't know what it is, but I want to try it."
"Shawarma," Steve said. He had no idea where it was either. For once, he and Tony were both in the dark about something. "Sure, why not?"
"We're not finished yet,"
Thor said.
"Oh, okay. Then shawarma after."
Chapter 31. Loki had just gotten himself put back together enough to get out of the hole in the floor. Painfully, he dragged himself toward the door. Never had a mortal damaged him as much as that green monster. He'd be healing for a long time. But he would, and then he would have his revenge. Even though the portal had collapsed and he had lost the Tesseract, even though the Chitauri army was destroyed, Loki would show the so-called Avengers they never should have opposed him. He heard a noise behind him and rolled over. And there they stood, all of them, even the ones he thought dead. Thor, Iron Man, Hawkeye, Captain America, the Hulk, and the Black Widow. She even held Loki's scepter, adding to the indignity. Loki sighed. He knew when he was defeated. At least for the moment. "If it's all the same to you," he said, "I'll have that drink now." The Avengers met one last time to make sure Loki, Thor, and the Tesseract got off Earth and back to Asgard. Then they shook hands and dispersed, each knowing that if the need arose, Nick Fury would know how to find them. On the helicarrier with repair crews swarming the damaged turbine and the collapsed interior decks, Nick Fury held off the World Security Council as long as he could, wanted to give the Avengers a head start, but eventually he had to answer the council's call, and they were not happy. They demanded to know how Iron Man had discovered the inbound missile. Fury told them. Enraged, then, they demanded that the Avengers be brought together and kept in one place under the World Security Council supervision.
"I'm afraid I can't do that,"
Fury said. "Where are the Avengers?" the lead counselor asked.
"I'm not currently tracking their whereabouts,"
Fury answered.
"I'd say they've earned a leave of absence."
This wasn't strictly true. He was tracking their whereabouts and knew they had gathered to see Thor and Loki off back to Asgard with the Tesseract. He also knew that once the Asgardians were gone, Tony, Bruce, Natasha, Barton, and Steve were scattered to the four winds. Exactly as Fury wanted them. The farther apart they were, the harder it would be for the counselors to keep an eye on them. Few is an old dog who knew lots of tricks. One of them was that he knew better than to trust groups like the World Security Council. After all, they'd already gone behind his back and tried to nuke Manhattan. And the Tesseract, the Council pressed.
The Tesseract is where it belongs, out of our reach.
Right about then, Few guessed, Thor and Loki would be gripping the handles of a cylindrical case holding the Tesseract. They're using his power to return to Asgard, since they couldn't use the Bifrost. That's not your call, the Council said ominously.
I didn't make it,
Few said.
I just didn't argue with the god that did.
So you let them take it and the war criminal Loki, who should be answering for his crimes.
Oh, I think he will be,
Fury said. He didn't know what Asgardian justice was like, but he had a feeling Loki wasn't going to like it. The last time he'd seen Thor's brother, Loki had been fitted out with a sealed half-mask that held his mouth shut. Unless Fury was badly mistaken, it would be a long time before Loki would be able to sweet-talk anyone into anything again. The counselor wasn't ready to let it go. I don't think you understand what you've started letting the Avengers loose on this world. They're dangerous.
They surely are.
Fury agreed.
And the whole world knows it. Every world knows it.
At the point of all this, a statement. Nick Fury leaned a little closer to the holographic silhouettes of all the members of the World Security Council.
A promise,
he said. He broke off the call and returned to the helicarrier's bridge. There was a lot to do before the ship would be combat ready again. And no telling how much time they had. The worlds were full of threats. So how does it work now? Maria Hill asked from a station. Now that they've gone their separate ways, some pretty far. We get into a situation like this again. What happens then?
They'll come back,
Fia said. Are you really sure about that?
I am.
Fia nodded. Why?
Because we'll need them too.
Then Nick Fury got back to his work. This book was adapted by Alex Irvine, based on the screenplay by Joss Whedon, story by Zach Penn and Joss Whedon. Produced by Kevin Feige, directed by Joss Whedon. Little Brown and Company, New York, Boston. This book is a work of fiction. Names, characters, places, and incidents are the product of the author's imagination or used fictitiously. Any resemblance to actual events, locals, or persons living or dead is coincidental. 2015 Marvel. Thank you for listening to Avengers 1.